بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Continue reading from the chapter the author he mentioned باب من تبرك بشجرة أو حجر ونحوهما. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the chapter, the one who seeks blessing and barakah from a tree or a stone or that which is similar to that. Babun man tabaraka bi shajaratin aw hajarin wa nahwihima ay faqad ashraka, meaning that this person, he has committed shirk. The chapter of the author he has mentioned here with regards to seeking blessing, talabul baraka, from a tree or from a stone or from something that is similar to this, like a grave or a building or a wall or anything similar to this, then the ruling for this action is that it is considered shirk. We've seen in our previous class an introduction to this chapter and the relationship between this chapter and the previous chapter. Who can remind us? The previous two chapters and this chapter. Abdullah. The last two chapters were about lubsul halqa wal khayti wa nahwihima li raf'il bala aw daf'ihi, wearing a ring or an amulet or a charm or string or something similar to this with the belief that it will protect from harm or it will remove it after it has come. This chapter is with regards to seeking blessing. Having the faith and the heart being attached to other than Allah with trust and reliance. That's the issue. The previous chapters were with regards to removing harm, protecting from having protection from danger. This chapter is with regards to
getting blessing,
bringing about good. But the main issue is taking means that are not legislated to achieve these affairs. Wearing a string, or wearing an amulet, or a tamima, or the likes like of these things is not legislated to protect a person. This is not something that is legislated by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, nor by the sharia of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It's not a legislated means, not shar'an wa not qadran, to protect from harm or to remove harm. And likewise, seeking barakah and blessing in this manner from a tree or from a stone or for a grave, so on and so forth, likewise is not the legislative means to obtain goodness. And we have seen also in our previous class al-barakah. What is al-barakah? What is blessing?
Continuous blessing.
Khair. Kathratul khair. Wa dawamuhu wa thubutu. Kathratul khair. To have an abundance of good. Naam, lots of good, and for the good to remain and to grow and to stay with an individual, to have goodness. We have seen likewise there are things that Allah has put blessing in this life. There are things that Allah has blessed, or there are things that have much good in them. Naam, in this life, and we have seen that some things are blessed and some people are blessed and some actions are blessed. Naam. And there are ways to obtain blessings and goodness. and that seeking blessing is legislated. And there is a tabarruk al-mashru' and a tabarruk al-mamnu'. What was the tabarruk al-mashru'? We discussed that. There was a few conditions for seeking blessing in a legislative way. The Quran is blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I see a blessing from the Quran? I kiss it and bump it on my head like this.
Yeah.
Huh? It's blessed. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak. Ah. Okay. Naam.
It has to be legislated. We get blessing with reason and understanding.
Okay. I'm with you. We want to hit the points precisely.
First thing, the things have to be blessed.
It has to be established in the legislation that there's blessing in it. That there's blessing in it. Somebody can't just come along and say the phone is blessed. This phone is blessed. Huh? You're gonna get blessing from the phone. There's no proof the phone is blessed. There's no food. The table, the wood, the wall. Naam, the rock, the stone, the grave. There's no proof. There's no proof. There has to first be proof that there's blessing in that thing. Naam, for example, is the Kaaba blessed? There's blessing in the Kaaba.
No.
The proof. Allah, He mentioned that the house of Allah is Mubarak. It's blessed. So then we're going to rub ourselves all over the wall? Rub our kids all over the wall? La. Okay, so the first one has to be established. There's blessing in it. And then? Take the legislative means to seek the blessing from that thing. What are the legislative means to seek the blessing from the Quran? To recite it. And to ponder over it and to follow it and to follow it. To recite it and to ponder over it and to follow it and to follow it and to help others recite it, ponder over and follow it, to call to that. This is from the way to obtain the blessing of the Quran. Now the Kaaba, tawaf around it, making dhikr around it. Now what about touching the black stone? Huh? Seeking blessing from the black stone?
No.
Huh? He only touched the black stone or kissing the black stone. That's seeking blessing from the stone. Huh? No? That's not seeking. No, we don't seek blessing from the stone. We seek blessing from? Following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kissed the stone. That's why we kissed the stone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he touched the stone. That's why we touch the stone. Not because of something special of the stone, but because it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just as Umar, he mentioned about that. إِنِّي لَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ هَجْرٌ لَا تَضُرُّ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ وَلَوْ لَأَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam يُقَابِلُكَ مَا قَابَلْتُكَ. He said it out loud so that other people can hear him. Like he's talking to the stone, but he's saying it out loud so that other people can hear him. Radiallahu anhu, Umar. He said, I know that you're just a stone and you don't benefit and you don't bring any harm whatsoever. And if I did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing you, I'd never kiss you. And he's saying this to let the people know that there's no special thing about that's special about this issue here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. So it is considered following ul-itiba. And there's barakah in that. There's barakah in the itiba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then these are the first two issues. There's three of them that we mentioned. The first, it has to be established as blessing in that thing. There has to be established that there's goodness in it. And then after that, that goodness has to be sought in a manner that's legislated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, not according to the desires or the whims or the what the people find to be good and so on and so forth. The third issue, very important. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who blesses. And the blessing comes from Allah, not from that thing by itself. The adhkar in the morning, are they blessed? The adhkar. No. By themselves. La, it's Allah Azza wa Jal that He has made them the means for blessing. Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated these means, reciting the adhkar in the morning time and in the evening time and after the salawat. He has made them a means to obtain His blessing. So they're blessed, and the means to do that is to recite them and ponder over the meanings of them, to say them in the manner that's legislated properly, not to say in them in an innovative way, in congregation, for example, or so on and so forth. So there's blessing in these. There's blessing in this for a believer whenever one has this proper creed that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has legislated means to obtain His blessings. And a believer, he seeks the blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla in the means that He has legislated, not in the means that are innovated. Not in the means that are innovated, because somebody may seek blessing from a means that are not innovated and could lead him to shirk. Could lead him to shirk. And we have seen that the non-legislated or the prohibited seeking of blessings is to seek blessings from something that is not, there's no evidence that it has blessing in it. Or to seek seek blessing from something that there's evidence that there's blessing in it, but to seek it in a manner that's not legislated. Or to believe that something brings about blessing by itself, alone. Naam. Or to take something as an intercessor to achieve the blessing, thinking that it will be the means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. We have seen likewise, At-tabarruk al-mamnu' is two types. And one is considered shirk and one is considered, major shirk and one is considered minor shirk. The major shirk is whenever a person, he seeks blessing from something and he believes that that thing brings blessing by itself without any without Allah Azza wa Jal bringing the blessing that this rock or this stone or this wali or whatever the case may be, it is blessed by itself and it brings about blessing by its own account. And this is a very foul belief and it's major shirk. As for the one who believes or he has taken something as the means to bring him blessing that's not legislated, but he believes that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who brings the blessing. He has just taken something as a means that's not legislated. This is considered minor shirk. This is considered minor shirk. So according to the creed of the person, them will be according to the ruling. In any case, من تبرك بشجرة أو حجر ونحوهما فقد أشرك. Naam, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who sends blessings, and He is the one who has the owner of the blessings, and He is the one who gives blessing, and He has bestowed blessings on whatever and whomever He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and blessing is not sought from anyone except for Allah Azza wa Jal. And anything else that has blessing in it, it is considered blessed, and Allah, He is the one who bestows the blessings. This is the correct creed. Allahu al-mubarik, whatever Allah wills to be mubarak will be blessed according to His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he clarifies the evidences for this now. We remember again the chapter, whoever seeks blessing, goodness, good things and blessing from a tree or a stone or something similar to that. Something similar to a tree or a stone? A grave. Naam? A grave or a building that's built over a grave. Or what do they call them? Adriha. What is Adriha? It's like a grave, but it has building on it. A grave that has building on it. They build graves and then they build buildings on the graves. Mausoleum. All of this is included here. He says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَفَرَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى يعني الآيات. الآيات. يعني meaning until the end of the ayat. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. He mentioned these verses here from Surah Al-Najm. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, have you not seen Al-Lat wal-Uzza and the third one, the other one, Al-Ukhra, Al-Haqira, Manat? Have you not seen these idols? They had idols in this time. Meaning, have you not seen them? Tell me, do they benefit or do they harm? Were they able to protect themselves? Were they able to bring about any good for you? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ Al-Lat wal-Uzza wa Manat الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. The ulama, they mentioned Al-Lat, it was a white stone, it was a rock that they used to worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it had some engravings in it. And it was a stone, and it was in Ta'if, and it had curtains, or it had the curtains on it, and it had caretakers, so on and so forth, and it was for the Bani Laqif. And they mentioned also that this word Al-Lat is the feminine version of the word Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah. So they derived this word Al-Lat from the word Ilah. And they made this a partner and a god along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they considered it to be a female god. Al-Lat. Like this. And they used to worship this stone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they call it Adlat. Also, there's a wording or a narration from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, whenever it's recited with tashdeed al-ta, Adlat, like this, فَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّات وَالْعُزَّ نَعْمْ اللَّات, with a shadd on the ta. This is mentioned by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and he mentioned that there was a man, they called him by this name, and he used to kana yaluttu as-sawiq. He used to mix and make this food. He used to smash it on a stone, and he used to mix this food, type of food, together with dates and semen, and then he would give it to the pilgrims whenever they would come by. And the pilgrims, whenever they would pass, he would just give it to them as a charity. And so they considered him in the days of Jahiliyyah to be a righteous man. So after he died, they took that place as a place of worship. So whether it's called, if it's considered lat, then they're referring to the stone. If it's considered lat, like this, is considered to the person. But the ulama, they mentioned there's no difference. And they took the stone and his grave. And his grave was there and the stone. So they worshiped that stone and also his grave and this person. So in this idol here, lat, it's referring to the stone where they had built a building over it, and they had curtains over it. And likewise, this is the grave of that man, and he was the origin of that, and he was a righteous man. In their eyes, he was considered a righteous man who was giving charity to the pilgrims, so on and so forth. And he was known for doing good and being generous. So then after he died, they used to make rukuf and stay on his gravesite like this, in the place where he would make the food on that rock. And then eventually that rock became an idol besides Allah Azza wa Jalla in his grave, a wathan that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, we see that this is reference to a stone being worshipped, or a reference to a grave being worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. فَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّات وَالْعُزَّ. Al-Uzzah, also the ulama, they mentioned that this is derived from the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Aziz. And it's also a feminine version, the feminine word. And Al-Aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz. And then they took or derived from this word Al-Uzza, which is the feminine version of that. So they had another false god that they had made, and they had innovated and created, and they had derived it from the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Aziz, Al-Uzza. And it was a tree, and it had around it also a building around it, and it had curtains, so on and so forth, and they had it had date palms around it, so on and so forth. And the people, this one was between Mecca and Ta'if, and they used to worship, and they used to venerate it and honor this tree and this house, and also they would worship that tree, and they called it Uzza. Even it was mentioned in one of the battles that Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, before he accepted Islam, he called out to the believers and he said, "Lana al-Uzza wa la Uzza lakum." We have Uzza, you have no Uzza. This was on our side, we have Uzza, and you have no Uzza. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, told the companions to tell them to say aloud, "Allahu Mawlana wa la Mawla lakum," that verily Allah, He is our protector and our guardian. You have no protectors or guardians. But in any case, they used to venerate and honor these gods besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned these three gods specifically in the book by these names, because they are the most famous and well known and honored and venerated and worshipped gods from the Arabs of that time. And but in other case, or in other words, there are many other gods besides these gods, many false gods that they had worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. But these were the most well known gods of the Arab. And likewise, Manat, they mentioned that Manat, also the feminine version of they have derived from one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Mannan. Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Mannan. And they used to slaughter for this stone, Manat. And also it's mentioned that the Aus and the Khazraj, they would make their Hajj from there. Whenever they would go to Hajj, this was also between Mecca and Medina, that they would enter their Ihram from this god, or from this any idol that they worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal, called Manat. Naam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent companions to all three of these idols and they were all destroyed. He sent his companions, different companions, to all three of these idols and they were destroyed. He sent Ali on the year of the Fath to Lat, and Ali radiallahu anhu, he destroyed Lat. He destroyed it. And then likewise, he sent Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, he destroyed Manat, and Khalid ibn Walid, he destroyed Uzza. It's mentioned that Khalid, he went also in the year of the Fath, and he destroyed the tree, and he destroyed the building and the likes. And then he came back, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "What did you do?" He said, "I destroyed it. I destroyed all of the building and the trees, so on and so forth." He said, "Go back. You didn't do anything." And then he went back there, and he found a woman there that was naked, and her hair was very out of place, and she was filthy with dirt, so on and so forth. And he killed her, Khalid. And then he came back, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Tilka Uzza." This was Uzza, mentioning that it was a jinn, that there was a jinn, a jinniya that was there, and being worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, along with these trees. In any case, they were not able to help themselves, and they were not able to protect themselves, and they were worthless. And the evidence is clear of the author. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ وَالْمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. That Lat, he was a grave of a righteous person, or also a stone that is worshipped. And also Al-Uzza was a tree. And they used to worship these stones and these trees and these graves, seeking blessing from them. And they used to stay there for a long time, and they used to go there, and they would make itikaf there, and they would remain there, and they would slaughter there for them, and they would make oaths for them, and they would worship them and take them as means of nearness to seek blessing, and so on and so forth. Just as the author mentioned, مَن تَبَرَّكَ بِشَجَرَةٍ وَحَجَرٍ وَنَحْوِهِمَا فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. And the one who has done this, this is the shirk of the people of Jahiliyyah, and this is the shirk in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that that's what they used to do. They had these gods and these false gods besides Allah Azza wa Jalla and these idols, and they would seek blessing from them. And this is shirk. So just like that, somebody who does that today, who seeks blessing from the grave of the wali, or seeks blessing from the wali himself, so on and so forth, believing that he brings blessing and can bring about good for him, then this likewise is shirk. Then this likewise is shirk. So Allah, he says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى. The Allah, he said to them, "Do you choose for yourself the males and for Allah Azza wa Jalla the females?" Meaning, at this time, even it is known from their culture that they dislike female children, that they dislike for themselves to have female children. And many of them, if they would have a female child, they would kill it, they would bury it whenever it was a baby, while it was alive, or they would wait sometimes until it was 4, 5, or 6, and then they would dress it up real nice, and like they're going to take the child for a party or some excursion, and then they would have the whole dug for it, and when they would go after it's 5 or 6 years old, before reaching the age of tamyiz, and then push it in the hole and bury it like this. And it's also been mentioned that some of them, even they would not wait even a moment, rather they would bury a hole and they would have the birth given, they would give birth next to the hole. If they find out that it's a girl, they throw it in the hole immediately and bury it while it's alive. And if it's a boy, they keep it like this. So this was known. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned about that. Wa'idha al-mawluda, 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 wa'idha al-mawluda, وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ نَعَمْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ نَعَمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned about this in the book. So in any case, they did not like for themselves to have female daughters. And then, but they have given Allah Azza wa Jalla female partners, and claim that Allat is Allah's partner, and that Uzza is Allah's partner, and they're females. And likewise, they said that the angels were the daughters of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they claimed this. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned about this. أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى تِلْكَ إِذًا قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَى. This is very unfair and unjust division. Yani this is a falsehood that you have claimed. Nam inhi illa asma'un sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum. That they are nothing, yarhamukallah, these are nothing except for names that you have made up. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned. That's the case. They're nothing but names that they have made up. And this also is an important point. Nothing but names. They just made these names up. Even some of the graves today, we see that they're just names that are made up. And some of the graves, even I know some people have mentioned to me in some of the Muslim lands, that it's known that that many people, they go to this particular grave and they worship it. And there is a guardians who protect that grave. But the people there, they know the reality of that grave, the people from that land. And that grave was the grave of a dog. That grave was the grave of a dog. But then the people, they lied and they mentioned this is the wali so-and-so, the wali so-and-so. So the misguided people, they come there and they will slaughter for it, and they'll give money for it, and they do all of these things. They worship, and it's not even a grave of a person. It's not even a grave of a person. They're just names people made up. They're not even real. Even if it was a person, this is just names that they have made up, claiming that they can help or protect or bring about good, so on and so forth. Just as the people in the time of Jahiliyyah and in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those polytheists that he fought them, this was their creed and their belief. There's no difference. This is the point of establishing this, because this is something that was common in the time of the author, and even as common today, that we find that many Muslims, they seek blessings from the graves and they seek blessings from trees and stones. Even to this day, there are trees in some Muslim lands. There are trees. Maybe some people from here, they're not aware of that, or maybe they think this is far less. This is something real. There are trees. There are trees, and they have certain trees that have like sap, and they believe that this tree can bring them children. They believe that they'll go to the tree, and the one woman, she can't have a child. She'll go to the tree and she'll worship the tree and call on the tree besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, hoping for a child. Even some of them, they will say, they'll mention, you can't have a child. Oh, go to this one tree. This one tree is tried and tested. It's known. If you go there, you'll get the child. And they believe this, any trees, that a tree will be able to bring them a child, or a tree that will be able to help them. And this is something that is present today. This is something that even to this day, there's something that is present, seeking blessing from trees. From trees, iyadhu billah. Naam. فَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى تِلْقَ إِذًا قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَى إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وأباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He did not send down any authority for this. ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان, أي من حجة, no proof or burhan or دليل. The ulama, they mentioned that the دليل or the burhan, the حجة, the proof is called a سلطان because it has authority. It has authority over the hearts and over the minds. Whenever you see a proof and evidence that is clear, it takes power and authority over the situation. There's no authority or there's no proof. There's no evidence for the fact that these are gods, or that they can bring about good or benefit, or they can help somebody. That these are just something that they have taken on their own and given them names on their own, them and their forefathers that have preceded them. نعم يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس. They only following suspicion, ظن, and that which their souls desire. The ulama, they mentioned a beautiful point here, and that is that those people of misguidance, this is what they do. This is indication. يَتَبِعُونَ إِلَّا ظَنْ. They only follow ظَنْ. This is فساد العلم. That their knowledge is not correct. They have suspicion, they have doubts. So this is the means of misguidance. To not have knowledge. To be upon doubt, or to be upon suspicion, or to be upon clarity. Now, because this is what they were doing. They were following ظَنْ. Suspicion and doubts. They're not following certainty. نعم وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسِ. And also they're following desires. So the ulama, they mentioned that this is two foul affairs, fasad al-ilmi wa fasad al-irada, that their intentions are corrupt and so is their knowledge. And this is from the aspect of how all shirk and every other foul and evil and wicked belief and creed has come from the corruption of knowledge, or the corruption of the intention, or the corruption of both of them. Whether somebody, his knowledge is corrupt, this is how he can fall into shirk, yani because of ignorance. Or misunderstandings, or he can fall into misguidance, or innovation, or disbelief, or sin and transgression because of ignorance. And likewise, or if he, even if he has knowledge, but he does not have strong determination and irada and the desire to apply that properly for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, also this would be a means for him to go astray. We see that many people, they have knowledge, but they go astray because they want the dunya. They want the dunya, or they want some other aspect. They're afraid of leaving a position or leaving a status or rank with the people, or leaving some good that they have in this life. So that causes them not to follow the truth or the knowledge that they have. So this is from the means of corruption and from the means of misguidance. And in these two issues, fasad al-ilm or fasad al-irada or fasaduhuma jami'an, either to have corrupt knowledge or to have a corrupt intention or to have both of them. This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous whenever the knowledge is not correct and strong and firm, or whenever the intention likewise is not correct. It's not correct. Even if the knowledge is correct and then the intention is corrupted, this one also will be led astray. This one will also be led astray. So the summarization for this verse here, and the author mentioning this verse in this chapter has been mentioned in Fath al-Majid. He mentioned تبرك بقبور الصالحين كاللاتي وبالأشجار والأحجار كالعزة ومنات من فعل جملة المشركين مع تلك الأوثان. يعني the fact of that a person would seek blessing from a grave, the grave of the righteous. For example, the way that they did with Lat. Or if they seek blessing from a tree or from a stone. Any tree or any stone. Just like the mushrikun in the time of the Prophet ﷺ did with Uzza and Manat. Then this is the actions of the mushrikeen. The mushrikun that was alive in the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that he fought them. They're not Muslims. He fought them. Sahih, that's what he's trying to clarify here. That the Prophet ﷺ, he fought people who worship trees. He fought people who worship stones. He fought people who worship graves of righteous people. He fought them and he banished them from the land. He fought them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and banished them from the land. So it's the same thing today. Anybody, even if he says La ilaha illallah, but he worship a grave, he's just like the one who worship Lat. Afara'aytum Lat? Somebody who is seeking blessing from the tree. Naam? It's just like that. Even if he said La ilaha illallah and he prayed, but he's worshiping a tree. He's going to the tree, calling on the tree, hoping for a baby. Hoping for the cure for his child. فَرَأَيْتَ الْعُزَّةَ. It's the same thing. It doesn't benefit. That's what they used to do. There's no difference. The only difference is they didn't say La ilaha illallah. And these people say La ilaha illallah. But that statement will not benefit them so long as they commit the action of the mushrikeen. That statement will not benefit them so long as they are doing the exact same actions of the mushrikeen. Somebody, he says, I want to go north, and he's walking south. What do you say to him? Every time you talk to him, no, I want to go north. You're going south. Does that statement help him at all? He's still going south. So he wants to go to, he said, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, but he's worshiping a tree. It doesn't benefit him. It doesn't benefit him. He's still going in the direction of the hellfire, yadhan billah. Naam, this will not help him. So this is the point here that the author is trying to make to clarify this issue. فَمَنْ فَعَلَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ وَاعْتَقَدَ فِي قَبْرٍ أَوْ حَجْرٍ أَوْ شَجْرٍ فَقَدْ ضَاحَ عُبَادَ هَذِهِ الْأَوْثَانِ يعني فِي مَا يَفْعَلُونَهُ مَعَهَا مِنْ هَذِهِ أَوْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشِّرْكِ. يعني this is the case that they made shirk in the same way. That's the point here. يعني not, the point here to understand the shirk of the people before. يعني this is the reality. The Prophet ﷺ, he was sent for what? To call to tawheed and to remove shirk and to warn from shirk. What was the type of shirk? This is one of the types of shirk here, that they worship a lat, that was a grave, or a stone in a grave, or they worship the trees, Uzza. These are the biggest of their gods, nam, of their false gods, and Manat also. And in Manat they slaughter for it. And so this is, and they mention Manat, it comes from the word of Allah, al-Manan. The female version also, or another meaning is, comes from the word Mina. For because they can they used to slaughter. Mina is from ihraq ad-dam, yumna ad-dam, that the blood would be spilled at this place, meaning they would slaughter animals a lot. So they used to slaughter for this stone. So just like today, they have people, they're Muslims, they slaughter for the graves. They slaughter for the grave. They even today they have Muslims that they ascribe to Islam. They slaughter for the jinn. They slaughter for the jinn. For their imams. We see some people, they get a new car, they're afraid of the jinn. They slaughter an animal for the jinn, and they put the blood on the car of the sheep at their hands, believing that they slaughtered to keep the jinn happy, for the sake of the jinn, so that they will not harm them. This is their belief. This is shirk. This is the point. That's why the next chapter, the author is going to mention the chapter of the one who slaughtered for other than the sake of Allah. All of this is related, and this is the shirk of the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The people of this day, even after the generations and the people who say La ilaha illallah, they have fallen into the shirk. This is the point the author, he wants to prove and to clarify and to warn the ummah from this, to see that this is no different from the deeds of those people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاةَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. This is the meaning of these verses, that they used to worship them besides Allah azza wa jalla in this manner, seeking blessing from them and protection from them, so on and so forth. All of this is considered from shirk. This is major shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'adhan billah. We'll continue next week, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.